Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's that time of year again. Happy Church New Year!
Happy Church New Year.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. It is one of my favorite times of the year because the church year begins anew. As we have spent the last couple of weeks ramping up our focus on the end times, Advent is also a time for that. Advent is a time of preparation for our Lord's coming. And while the world has already put Jesus in the manger, or replaced him altogether with the man in the red suit, we focus on preparing, proper preparation. We got to sing one of my all-time favorite hymns. And if it isn't already one of your favorites, I hope that it becomes one of them. Savior of the Nations Come is a hymn that has been sung by the church since the 4th century. St. Ambrose of Milan, bishop, defender of the Christian faith, who also stood toe-to-toe with emperors. St. Ambrose, who wrote our hymn, also was the one who baptized St. Augustine. One of the greatest theological thinkers of all of Western civilization and Christendom as a whole. St. Augustine, a man who lived much of his life not as a Christian, by the constant prayers of his mother, who was a devout Christian, and by the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, was brought to faith and baptized by St. Ambrose as an adult. St. Augustine's writings would be central to much of our doctrines, especially as Lutherans, because Martin Luther was an Augustinian monk. They read his works day and day out. And so this hymn, written in Latin by St. Ambrose, survives for us today because of Martin Luther. Luther did not want to give up the beautiful hymnody that he would sing over and over and over again. And so he takes that Latin and he takes that tune and he makes it simpler. He translates it from Latin into German. And so that what we sang today is his tune, simplified from the original tune. And the English translation of his German translation of the Latin. This hymn is so important in Christendom. And Martin Luther's contribution to it, that when we went to Holy Hill, I did what every Lutheran pastor does in a Roman Catholic church. I looked in the hymnal to see how many Martin Luther hymns were in there. And they gave him credit for his translation. Because it's important. We get to sing a hymn that came from the Latin through the German into English, but a hymn that our forefathers so long ago sang. And it's with joy that we sing those words still today. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Savior of the nations, Jesus has come not just for the Hebrews and the Jews, but he has come for the Gentiles. He has come for the heathen nations. He has come for you and me. Savior of the nations, come. Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. Here a maid, a virgin, was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. God had made the womb of a young virgin girl his throne. Think about how magnificent that is. And then after those 9 months were fulfilled, then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall. God of God, yet fully man, his heroic course began. Jesus is now set out to do what he came to do, to live a perfect life. 8 days after his birth, he was circumcised to show that he had been placed under the law for us. 40 days later, he was presented in the temple, and he would follow all the laws laid out. God the Father was his source. Back to God he ran his course. Into hell his road went down, back then through to his throne and crown. He sets aside his throne. He comes in humility, and he follows the course that his Father had given for him. Remember in the garden he would pray, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Son has come to fulfill the Father's will, even to the cross, and even to hell. But Jesus does not go to hell to suffer more. Rather, he goes to hell to proclaim to the devil, "I have won. You are defeated." And while the devil has used this next 2,000 years to fight and to rage against it, it does not make it any less true. The devil is conquered. Jesus has won the victory. "For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won, by your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul." 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended back to the right hand of God, where he makes his eternal throne. From the manger newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light faith now abides. The light of Christ has come into the world and shines even in the darkest of places. And then we sing this doxology, a confession of who the Holy Trinity is, that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and for eternity. This hymn, sung by generations upon generations of Christians, is a wonderful testament and a simple testament to the eternal truths. Jesus Christ has come for you and for me and for the whole world. For much of my ministry, I wondered why on earth Palm Sunday gospel lesson would be the gospel lesson for the very first Sunday in Advent. Wouldn't it make more sense that it should only be on Palm Sunday? But then I finally came to realize this is absolutely a wonderful text for the first Sunday in Advent. And it has been the gospel lesson for Ad Te Lavavi for well over 1,000 years. So preachers would be preaching on this text as the church year began anew. And again, it makes complete sense, because it shows us the threefold office of Christ, why he has come. You see, Advent is not just a preparation to celebrate the birth of our Lord. It is a preparation for the return of our Lord. We are preparing our bodies, our souls, and our minds to receive him when he comes again. And so we see his threefold office here. We see him as prophet. Right after our text, these words ring out. "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" A prophet's job was to proclaim the word of God. Oftentimes it would be received with joy, but most other times it was received with anger, with a desire to murder and kill. And this time was no different. You had a great crowd that followed him during his earthly ministry. You had a great crowd of people that had seen him raise Lazarus just shortly before this. And now they were coming to Jerusalem to see what he was going to do next. They are preparing for the Passover, and they are looking for this Jesus. What is he going to do? There were some that believed that he was going to ride in and overthrow the Roman government. But that's not what he had come to do. No, he had come to overthrow the shackles of what really weighed us down: sin, death and the devil. And so he comes as the prophet to proclaim the word, because he is the word incarnate. He proclaims that word in the holy city, Jerusalem. And the word that are true are rung out about him as well. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The word of Jesus was proclaimed to his disciples. Go and get a donkey and you will find it with its colt. Bring them to me. Mark and Luke record that he also tells them, and if anyone should say anything, simply say, the Lord has need of them. And we see that that is what happens, that they go, they begin to untie, and they're saying, what are you doing? And they say, the Lord has need of them. And they're given, because the Lord has need of them. When the word of Jesus is proclaimed to you, I hope that it moves your heart to do exactly what it says, to do exactly what it set out to do. And so they bring those, and Jesus rides in humble on a donkey. This is that pomp and circumstance of a king riding in after a victory. King David had ridden into this city, and now David's son and David's Lord is riding in. Jesus has come to be our prophet, he has come to be our priest, and he has come to be our king. This prophet and king was riding into the holy city, into the temple. For shortly after this, we see Jesus going into the temple and cleansing it, throwing out those who had come to buy and sell rather than to meditate on his word. Jesus is our high priest who sacrifices the lamb on our behalf, but now the lamb would be his own body. Jesus would sacrifice himself as the final Passover lamb on his cross. No more would the altars be filled with the blood of a lamb. Now the cup would be filled with the blood of the lamb. The final sacrifice. That what we receive is a testament of what he gave on his cross. He is the high priest, the final priest, making the final sacrifice for the sins, not just of the people of Israel, but for the whole world. Jesus rides in as king. No matter what form of earthly government you have here, no matter how broken it might get, you have a king, a monarch that is just, a monarch that loves you. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is seated on his throne, and yet he still decides to make this very church his throne. Every church where his word is proclaimed, where his body and blood are given, is a throne for the Lord. He is our King, and it is fitting for us to fall to our knee in his presence as he comes to us. We remember his first coming as we look forward to his last coming. But don't for a second think that he doesn't come to you every day. Every day when you read your scriptures, every day when you remember your baptism, every day that you confess your sins and receive his holy absolution, every day that you receive his body and his blood under the roof of your mouth. You receive your King each and every Sunday that we gather around his word and his sacraments. Yes, Jesus has come as prophet, priest, and king. And we sing out with those people, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we sing the Sanctus right before the words of our Lord's Prayer. We sing those words that he is blessed up before everyone. And we remember that his word is true. That when we profess his word, when we proclaim his word, yes, the world and those of the devil will attack you for it. But that you must stand firm on that word and never back down. Because the Bible is God's word. It is the truth. Your brothers and sisters in Christ will also come to encourage you, to proclaim that what you have said is true, if it is the word of God. Stand firm, dear Christian, confessing God's word in your hearts and upon your lips. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So as you go home today, if you haven't already, I encourage you to get out your own personal Advent wreath for your family devotions. Because the only reason we have one in the church is because houses had them first. Your family devotions around an Advent wreath, where you light a candle as a family, where the house father reads a passage from Scripture and leads your family in prayer. That is what your daily life should look like. So go home, light your candles, and prepare for the coming of our Lord, the King of kings, the King of all creation, that at the last day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and let your tongues confess to your judgment, but to your judgment of eternal life. The church sings. From the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.